please turn in your Bibles
to Proverbs chapter 31, and this will be our final lesson in the book of Proverbs. We've only got two verses to cover this morning. Alan Staley sent me a text this morning with a quote from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, which is an excellent summary, but it was on my phone. My phone's being used, so I can't quote it. But I might ask you to bring your phone up if it's on there. Not yet, but and then you can get on the picture, too, if you want. You can be on the Facebook Live if you want to. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now I find it interesting that Agur, the writer of Proverbs 31, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants to end the chapter and make the point that outward beauty is often deceitful and vain and empty. And this is true especially when you contrast what God truly values, the inner motives and desires of a godly woman who fears the Lord. And her description is given in Proverbs chapter 31. This verse reveals a stark contrast between what the carnal world at large esteems with what the Lord deems praiseworthy. And I believe that as you read the Scriptures, you're always going to find a contrast between God and man. What God values, what God loves, what He approves of, and what man esteems and thinks is good and profitable. And it struck me that men often base their choice of a wife on outward beauty rather than inward piety. And we see it maybe more so than at any time. There is so much emphasis in our world on the outside of a person. What they look like, how they make their hair up. I didn't know this, but there's a whole world of, they call them influencers on the internet that do all kinds of tutorials dealing with how you look, how you present yourself. And it's a thriving business, and it tells you something about our culture and what people think is most important. And a lot of it is just the outward shell. Outward beauty is temporal, and it's fleeting. And if that is all a man is concerned with, he'll soon lose his love interest as his wife's beauty fades. Sadly, there are many beautiful women on the outside who are beastly, base, and ungodly on the inside. They may look pretty, but their attitudes and their actions are hideous and ugly. Many women are filled with envy and jealousy and bitterness, hatred and malice. And certainly that could be said of men as well. But in context here, It's so important that we understand God loves what's on the inside and thinks that's more important than what shows up on the outside. Because of our fallen natures, because of our bodies being corrupted and wrecked by sin, they devolve. They begin to decay. But your soul lives on forever. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has worked in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and the Spirit of God has sanctified and encouraged you and set you apart for His glory, that inward beauty comes out by the way you conduct yourself, your character, your speech, your deportment, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's sad to think that there many times some of the best looking women on the outside, their mouths are often filled with cursing, gossip, complaining, and snark. No matter how beautiful a woman may look on the outside, if she has no character or virtue on the inside, her life will be vain and empty. And what a warning, I think, all of Proverbs 31. It ought to be a warning to men searching for a wife. What's on the outside can be so deceitful and vain unless it's tempered with godliness, virtue, love, a quiet and submissive spirit. All of those things, God says, are of great price. And certainly that's what we ought to value. I am appalled. I've been saved, it'll be 40 years in November. And just in my short lifetime, I'm shocked how much people have changed and conformed to a culture that is increasingly becoming and has been for a long time what you read about in Romans chapter 1, where it really is the makeup of the reprobate mind. Bitterness, hatred, envy, unrighteousness, ungodliness. And it's so sad to think that this mentality has infected not just women and men, but mothers and fathers who are charged with raising children. And I believe that you can see that there's a whole lot of young people in our world today who have had little or no training in godliness, in virtue, in the principles laid out in Scripture. And this has been an ongoing thing in our country. Europe has already, it's been gone to the dogs for years. And I often hear our politicians say, well, all these civilized nations, like all the industrial nations, they have this or that. And you look at Europe, I don't want to be like Europe. I don't want to have that kind of, especially the emphasis on perversion and ungodliness that is prevalent there. But it's here. And I think the only way that we can stem the tide is for an awakening. You know, I pray for revival, but I'm going to tell you something. I've made this point for several years. Unless there is an awakening, unless God saves sinners and changes hearts and brings men and women boys and girls out of darkness into His marvelous light and changes them from the inside out, we're not going to turn the tide. We're certainly not going to do it by politics or by politicians. It's going to have to come from God. Now, in this verse, we see how God values a woman that respects and reverences and fears the Lord. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, that reverences His word, that loves Him supremely, she shall be praised. Her heart, she loves the word of God. She desires to depart from evil. She longs to walk in God's ways and do what is right in His sight. Her heart is set upon the things of God and doing that which is honorable in the sight of God Almighty. And such a woman is not only worthy of praise, but she shall be praised. In this life, her husband and her children rise up and call her blessed. And I believe the woman in Proverbs 31, she regards that as her greatest earthly triumph. That she has served God, her husband, and her family, and they shower her with appreciation and with love and respect and kindness. So she will be blessed in this life. It is worth it to devote your life to God and your family. But also in the life to come, she shall be praised at the judgment seat of Christ. That will reveal that God has rewarded her for her spirit and her life of service. And ultimately, isn't that the aim? That all of us are prepared for the day when we stand before the Bema Seat. And I've emphasized this many, many times. The Bema Seat has nothing to do with your sins. Your sins were judged at Calvary. Christ put them away. And in exchange, He gave you His righteousness, and that's the only thing that enables you to stand before God and be accepted in Him, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So He dealt with our sin. The Bema Seat will be for rewards of service. What our motives have been, why we do what we do, and how we serve the Lord. Now this woman is forever exalted because her ideal is forever enshrined in the Holy Scriptures. But think of godly women who labor without any recognition, who love and serve and are faithful. And the world at large knows very little about their effort, their sacrifice, and their labor. But God does. And it says here that she shall be praised. Let the qualities of a God-fearing woman be the benchmark, certainly for all those who are seeking a wife. I think our families are so askew because both men and women are not prepared for marriage. They don't understand it. They view everything from a worldly, carnal perspective, and they don't see the importance of biblical love. And it affects everything. George Lawson is my favorite commentator on Proverbs, and I'm going to close with two of his quotes today, but this one is just powerful. He wrote this in 1837. He said, "When beauty is not sweetened by virtue, the woman who possesses it is but like a sow with a golden jewel in its snout, as Solomon tells us. But a woman who fears the Lord, whether she has or has not beauty, shall be praised. For true piety is the beauty of the soul, and excels that which lies in complexion and features, as much as heaven is higher than the earth, or eternity longer than time." Beauty is indeed a lovely qualification when it is joined with piety and humility, but without them, it is a snare and a trap. In choosing a wife, fools will follow their fancy, and the wise will act according to reason and the Word of God. So, he's closing the chapter by emphasizing that inward piety is much more important than outward beauty. Now again, there's nothing wrong with, I remember when I prayed about a wife. You know, I was just a young man. My wife was even younger. But I pray, "Lord, please give me a woman that's saved, that loves you, that wants to follow you, wants to do what's right. Lord, help her to believe the truth." And always at the end, I just tack on. I'd say, "And Lord, if it's okay, can you make her pretty?" And He answered my prayers. And it's a miracle. And I've told you before, I had it written down in the book of Proverbs where it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." And I wrote down and I got it dated in one of my original wide margin Bibles. When I met Tammy, I wrote in there, "I think I found one." And God worked it all out in His providence. It's amazing how God answers your prayers and how He works in your life. Verse 31. "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." The qualities of the virtuous woman are so praiseworthy, they ought to be trumpeted wide, far and wide. Her virtue, humility, submission, faith, modesty, love, discipline, work ethic, management ability, child training skills, and overall godliness should be held up as a standard for women for all of time and eternity. When you look at Proverbs chapter 31, it is quite an ideal that God sets forth. Now, I understand that this is an ideal worth emulating, but very difficult to live up to. However, let us encourage our young ladies to aspire to the greatness of godliness found in the pages of this sacred passage of the Holy Scripture. You know, scandal travels a lot farther and faster and is eagerly embraced by itching ears, pining for the latest gossip. Instead, may God speed the description of this virtuous and godly matron throughout all the world through the preaching, the practice, and the publication of the principles that we find in Holy Scripture that God values. And I'll close with my favorite author on Proverbs, George Lawson. I might not close. Alan, you go ahead and get yours ready. She is entitled to honor. And if no tongue should give it to her, the works of charity and wisdom, which she is constantly practicing, will be a monument to her home. She is praised by all those who know her, and she shall have praise of God on the day when the seal shall be set to every character. Proverbs 31. You got it? Come on up, Al. Thank you, brother. This is out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, right? The virtues of a noble wife are those that are extolled throughout the book of Proverbs. Hard work, wise investments, good use of time, planning ahead, care for others, respect for one's spouse, ability to share godly values with others, wise counsel and godly fear, worship, trust, service, obedience. As Proverbs has stated repeatedly, these are qualities that lead to honor, praise, success, personal dignity and worth, and enjoyment of life. In the face of the adulteress's temptations mentioned often in Proverbs, it is fitting that the book concludes by extolling a virtuous wife. Young men and others can learn from this noble woman. By fearing God, they can live wisely and righteously. That is the message of Proverbs. Thank you, Brother Allen. We're dismissed. God bless you.